The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:40pm with Dave Kellner, Mick Norton and Ross Briley in the studio. We have jumping from Lingfield and Musselburgh and all weather racing at Wolverhampton, so do tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm very well indeed, Mark. Great to be here.
Yes, good stuff. We're going to look ahead to some of the action at Musselburgh on Monday in just a moment or two. But let's take a quick look back, John, because another good Saturday and an impressive winner in the shape of Lamy Surge in the Tolworth Hurdle. And reports after the race suggesting that he will now go straight to the Supreme, and is currently 5-1 joint favourite for the Supreme now with Duvan. So do you see him having a big chance at the festival?
Yeah, I think he's got a great chance, Mark. And Lamy Surge is one of a fleet of horses owned by Simon Mounier. Mm. And, you know, his green colours have been in tremendous form so far this season. And I think he's going to have a fantastic festival, provided, and it's a big provision, that the horses remain fit in time. You know, we're talking about Cheltenham. Here we are on the first week of January, and Cheltenham's not until the middle of March, and the worrying time, obviously, for trainers and connections altogether. But Lamy Surge was really impressive, I thought, in the Tolworth. The main point being that he quickened with tremendous speed approaching the final flight. It was very testing ground at Sandown yesterday, and yeah, a lot of horses didn't like it at all. And Lamy Surge appeared to act perfectly well on the ground, but the question was whether he would accelerate in the closing stages. Well, he really did. He accelerated like a class horse. And Nicky Henderson's got a fleet of good horses for Simon Mounier. I should think he was absolutely delighted with the run of this horse, who's a big, big, strong-looking sort. And I would have thought he would deal very well with the hurly-burly of the Supreme. Yes, so you've got to say Lamy Surge was very impressive indeed. And I'm not at all surprised that he's going straight to the festival.
Okay, so that was the Tolworth Hurdle then. Elsewhere on the card, AP McCoy had a good day. He rode a treble. Arabian Revolution, an impressive debut winner. Aurore d'Estraval, a very tough mare as well. She looks set to take her place up in March in the Mare's Hurdle. And good old Mr. Mole, who's never the most straightforward of prospects, but he's 1-3 on the bounce now, John. So any of those stand out to you?
Well, I thought AP stood out hands and shoulders almost above the horse. He was tremendous at Sandown. You know, you can't go on talking about superlatives for AP forever and ever, but, you know, the man doesn't look as though he's going older at all. Tremendous horsemanship on Mr. Mole. I was grinding my teeth, Mark, because I went for Brick Red, and I really did think Brick Red was going to win that race. Sadie Coleman appeared to be travelling with plenty of horse underneath him at the pond fence. I thought he was just waiting to go past Mr. Mole, but AP had other ideas, and he got a marvellous leap out of this quirky character at the final fence. I think Mr. Mole was so shocked he just scooted up the hill in all directions, but he did stay on too well for Brick Red. Great ride by AP. And let's consider Aurore d'Estraval. I thought she was, you know, really very, very encouraging in that mare's race at Sandown. The horse had hurdled splendidly in the Fighting Fifth, and I thought for a moment she was going to win that race at Newcastle, but Irving proved just too strong on the flat. He too, a bit of a quirky character, yeah. Irving, because he doesn't always produce it, but when he's on form, he's a class horse. After that race, I had a word with Sean, and he said he thought that Aurore d'Estraval would in fact go better over a longer trip, but would have to be ridden more patiently. beautifully, well, artistically ridden, I thought, by AP. You know, he was quite determined to have nothing about the early pace, but it was perfectly clear when they turned into the straight and headed towards the second last flight that he was on a winner. And I thought the mare ran on very well. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see what the Quins aim at with her.
Mm. Well, I think the mare's hurdle will be the obvious reward at the festival.
Yes, it would be. Yeah. And there's absolutely no reason why she shouldn't go very well.
No, it's grade one now as well, isn't it?
It's a grade one, and she showed at Newcastle, as I said a moment ago, that she could hurdle really quickly and fluently, and she's proved she'll stay the trip. So, yep, yeah. Why not?
Okay. Let's talk about Union East as well, John. An impressive winner in the last, a dropping grade paying off for him. He scooted away with it in the end and is joint favourite now for the Grand National. Do you see him developing into a national type?
I think he's a very good horse anyhow, Mark. With hindsight, you know, I really sort of grinded my teeth about perhaps not napping Union East. Interestingly, KP queried as to whether he would go as well right-handed as he had done left-handed. He pointed out to a stat which suggested that Union East really ran a great deal better going left-handed rather than right, but it didn't seem to make much difference at Sandown yesterday, and came through very strongly, won as he liked. He's always been a good horse, and he ran very well in the Hennessy, finishing sixth. I think he was the first horse to actually win out of this year's Hennessy. Mind you, not all that many have run, so that's not necessarily an accurate stat. I was impressed, and I thought after the race, you silly man, this was probably one of the best bets of the day, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Grand National wasn't on the agenda, or perhaps even something a little bit less grueling.
Yeah. Triolo Delaine, I imagine the National will be the aim for that one, who finished third. 33-1 at the moment, and it was encouraging from the former Hennessy winner, wasn't it?
Yes, very much so. Ran his best race for a long time, and in fact, it could be upgraded, as they say, Mark, because the ground quite clearly did not suit one tiny bit.
Hit soft ground, wasn't it?
And if one moment it looked as though it wasn't going to be put into the race at all, but then patiently ridden, came through well in the straight, as you say, and you know, on better ground in the spring, could well be excellent value at 33-1.
Anything else stand out to you from Saturday, John?
Well, there was good racing at Newcastle. And if you're interested, listeners, in northern racing, I think you want to look very carefully at Runswick Royal when that runs next. The Hamiltons have always rated this horse, always considered it to be the best horse they've ever had, Runswick Royal, and he's very lightly raced. I remember before one of those big juvenile hurdles at Aintree, Runswick Royal appeared to have very little chance, but I had been talking to the Hamiltons and mentioned the fact that they regarded this horse very highly. Well, he finished second at Aintree in that hurdle at round about 22-1. It's taken a bit of time to get his act together over fences, but I thought Yorkist was something of a good thing at Newcastle, and he went past him like a knife with butter. He loves soft ground, and I think Runswick Royal needs to be noted.
Okay, good stuff. Well, let's leave that there and move on to Monday's action. John's picked out three races for us at Musselburgh, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, up to Musselburgh we go for their 1 o'clock to start with, and we start here with a maiden hurdle over 2 miles. We have seven of them in the lineup for this, John, and I imagine Jillingo is going to be quite popular in the betting, given that he finished second on his hurdling debut at Newbury last time. But is he the one that you like here?
Well, oddly enough, he's not the one I'm going to select, but I think he will go very well. I didn't select him because I thought he'd probably be just a little bit too short, Jillingo. The two that I quite like in this maiden hurdle begin with the letter G for George, and Ganoke will be one of them. James Ewart trains his horse, and he was 33-1, I think, when appearing at Musselburgh for the first time over hurdles at a recent meeting. This was a race in which AP had come up to ride Arabic History, And that looked to be sure to win. But my goodness me, he was a bit lucky to win. He wouldn't have won if Apatrix had not fallen at the last flight. And Apatrix was going extremely well for Brian Ellison there and did, in fact, run subsequently pretty well after that race. So it could be said the race was all right. Ganocchi suddenly appeared from virtually nowhere and for one moment looked as though he was going to close down. The fortunate A.P. McCoy leader didn't quite do so at the line. The favourite pulled out a little bit extra on the flat, but Ganocchi was running on strongly, so he could go quite well. But the actual selection to beat Jalingo is Ginger Jack. Now, Ginger Jack is perhaps a loyalty bet, but I've always supported this horse. He's run in the colours of Hal McGee, who comes from a famous racing family on the borders, the McGees. And Hal McGee's had this horse for some while. He's been trained on the flat by Jeff Harker, and Ginger Jack has run some very, very decent races in quite competitive handicaps for that combination. Now with Keith Dalglish, and Keith Dalglish has shown that he is very capable of getting horses ready to win first time out, whether it's on the flat or now over hurdles. A most interesting runner, Ginger Jack, and he's got the supremely tough and strong Wilson Rennick in the saddle. So despite the short price for Jalingo, I'm going to go for Ginger Jack to make a winning debut.
Okay, Ginger Jack, and if you look at ratings on the flat, John, Ginger Jack was rated as high as 92 on the flat, whereas Jalingo wasn't. He was rated, I think, highest in the 80s. So,
I think he's got a good chance, Ginger Jack, and I'm looking forward to seeing him running.
Mm. Ginger Jack, then, in the Open Arc Musselburgh, we go to the 130 next, which is a Class 4 handicap chase over 2 miles. Eight of them in the lineup here, John, and not too many of them arriving here in the best of form. It's quite a tricky race, this.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons why I've chosen it, Mark. I always like quirky races and quirky horses. There are two, I think, who basically stand out on form, and much depends whether Kai Brune is fit. Now, he's been entered, Lucinda Russell's chaser, on a number of times over the past sort of fortnight or so, and has been passed over, but he's running here at Musselburgh, and he hasn't done much for some while. But they did rate this horse as a hurdler, Kai Brune, Peter Scudamore and Lucinda Russell, and he ran well at Perth, I remember, a couple of times. And then they thought he'd make a really good chaser, but after a promising start, things didn't go right, and he had quite a serious setback. He was off for a while. He's back in training now. He likes tight tracks, Kai Brune. He likes to get out there and make all, and that could help him here today. But he has had problems, and he has been off for some while. I just have a sniff that after what's been a very thin time, the McCain horses are coming back to a bit of form. I don't think the stats stand that up, actually, this month. I believe he's only saddled about 2 winners in 35 or 36 runners, something of that nature. But the horses have been running quite well. I thought at Newcastle, they were staying on strongly on Saturday, which is always a sign that, teams coming back to form. Blackwater King is the horse involved here, and he's been very disappointing, really. Showed plenty of form over hurdles as a novice, and I remember him running well at Kelso over the smaller obstacles, for example. Thought almost sure to make a successful chaser, but has actually been about for a while without being particularly impressive. He did run quite well in the autumn, and I thought he was also likely to score at Sedgefield last time out when he fell, when hadn't really been put in the race, but was still going quite well. Now, this is a horse that goes well when fresh, and he will be fresh here. If I'm right in thinking the McCain horse is coming back to form, then I think Blackwater King has got a very good chance in what is a modest race. Yeah. So I should go for Blackwater King.
Yeah, well, they did have Hester Fleming win on Saturday, didn't they? And Bourne ran second, which is the first semblance of form he's shown in a long time, so...
Exactly. Yeah. And they had quite a good run in their bumper, from their horse in the bumper as well, finished a close third in what was quite a decent bumper. So, yes, I think there is hope. So Blackwater King will be the choice.
OK, Blackwater King in the 1:30. Then in the final race we're going to look at is the 3 o'clock at Musselburgh. This is the William Hill Kilmainey Cup Handicap Chase, which is a Class 3 event over 3 miles, 6 of them in the lineup here, John. And I suppose Royal Play is going to attract quite a bit of attention on the back of that Ludlow win last time when he got the better of the informed Gorski Island. It looks pretty solid form. Them two were 15 lengths clear of the third.
Yes, I think he'll probably start pretty short, Royal Player. Very interesting in a way. Philip Hobbs has sent the horse all the way up to Musselburgh. He has had several runners at Musselburgh over the past 5 years, Philip Hobbs, and he's generally there or thereabouts with them when he runs them. I remember Richard Johnson, I think, riding a four-timer on one occasion at Musselburgh. So Royal Player, Gorski Island, a decent sort of handicap success at Ludlow. He's got to have a big chance, but... here again, I'm going to be sort of obstinate. I've been waiting for Island Heights to win a race for, not a great deal of time. The reason why is I thought this horse always shown promise over hurdles, but was likely to do better over fences, an opinion I know which has been shared by Lucinda Russell, the trainer. Lucinda is, in fact, often said that Island Heights is her horse of the current winter to do better than he has done up till now. Well, he's been very lightly raced, but was a fairly sound second to Sharp Rise at Sedgefield last time out. I think I'm right in saying that if you look at the form of that running, you will note that Island Heights was A, a bit unlucky, B, made a vital mistake, if I remember, at the second last, and wasn't beaten all that far running on strongly. That was the first outing he'd had since the early October, and I think he'll improve quite significantly. Interestingly, he was entered at Newcastle on Saturday and dodge that to wait for Musselburgh here, and I think he's a decent horse on a fair weight, and I would expect him to run very well.
Okay. Island Heights then to run well. I'm just trying to check, John, because I think the third from that race, Ballymote for Sue Smith, has won since to boost the form.
Yes, a winning nap.
One
at Southall, yes, and it wasn't disgraced last time out. That is correct. So I know they think quite a lot of this horse, and I saw him run over hurdles Island Heights at Carlisle last spring, and he ran pretty well there. So, you know, he's a young, unexposed sort. Obviously, a Royal Player is going to be the one to beat, and it may be a different class, but I just think Island Heights will give his supporters a good run.
OK, good stuff. Let's have a quick summary then, John, if you'll spin us through your thoughts for Musselburgh one more time.
Well, in the opener, we hope Ginger Jack is going to be a winner for Hal McGee and Keith Dalglish. That's 1 o'clock. In the 1:30, good opportunity, I thought, for Blackwater King to get his nose in front. And in the 3 o'clock, interesting race, Royal Player hard to beat, but I'm going to go with Island Heights.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, John. Good luck and enjoy it on Monday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Lord John Budden on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:40 p.m. Dave Kellner, Mick Norton and Ross Briley will be in the studio. It's this meeting at Musselburgh and Lingfield over jumps, accompanied by all-weather action on the Tapita at Wolverhampton. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.